Whatever. Go take a break, Hunter. Shut your mouth. Welcome to episode 134 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I like the way you smell. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I once held the Intercontinental Championship belt for a fantasy writing wrestling league.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I'll be your overall first draft in this year's 2015 NFL Draft.
I guess I should have made it
first overall pick. It's pretty impressive.
I'm going to be on the
Madden
Bulls
thing. No, Jason, no.
I'm going to go play for Green Bay or Pittsburgh. The Ravens.
What position, the Ravens. Jason Lamb? Do tell. What position?
I'd be a running back.
Because
I can't catch. I can't throw.
I had
but boy, can I run.
As a defenseman, but yeah, whatever.
Little bit on
just
the wee
corner or something.
The wee small side for that.
The wee small side, but you think you can play running back? That's amusing. Okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
It's good to have dreams.
Just put that sticky stuff on his hands, so you don't have to worry about dropping the ball.
Yeah, that way, no matter how hard they hit you, you will still hold on to the ball, even when you're unconscious.
Oh yeah. No, I've been unconscious before. It's fine.
And 4 feet in the ground from the pylon, you will still have that ball.
Requiring facial reconstruction surgery and the insertion of metal plates where your cheekbones used to be.
That'll be like Dr. Doom.
That happened in an NBA playoff game this past week, if no one knew. Some guy got elbowed in the face and he has metal plates in his face now. And it was kind of amusing because he can't really express like a lot of like smiles and stuff. So like interviewing him about it, he just has this like emotionless face the whole time.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, it kind of does. You can't go through metal detectors anymore. Everyone thinks you're always pissed, even when you're super happy. People put magnets on your face and laugh at you. Think it's
that
funny.
Sounds fun. I'd love to put magnets on my face.
What are you going back to the second grade? What
you,
is this?
You could freak people out. You could put stuff on the magnets and be like, look what I can do. Stick stuff on your face.
Yeah.
And be like, whoa.
You can make weird. You can get like really drunk at a bar and make an outrageous bet. I bet you I can stick this magnet in my face. And they'll be like, okay. Nice. And you're like, here. And bam. Free drinks.
What? No way. You just like got sticky skin or something. No, no. Go ahead. Nope. Pour beer all over my face. It'll still work. Okay. It's kind of weird.
Weird.
Metal face.
Right. Yeah.
That's our intro tonight.
Yeah.
Talking about metal faces.
Apparently so.
No. Yeah. No vintage telephone book collecting. No Yoko Ono tweets.
Nope.
None of that. Just wondering what it would be like to stick magnets on your face. That's the show you get tonight, everyone.
That's what you get on the One More Podcast.
That's what you get. You get magnets on your face. Or we could talk about the old video games we've been playing lately. I think that's a viable option. What do you guys think?
I have been playing old video games.
Yep. Cool. So
cool.
So proud of you.
No. So this week.
No.
It's the Star Wars sale on Good Old Games.
Oh,
and I couldn't resist I couldn't resist the Star Wars saber bundle. Which is like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like 10 games.
I don't know why
for
that
about
sounds
30
funny.
Bucks. Yeah, Star Wars saber bundle. Anyways, it's like 10 games for 30 bucks. It's like, okay, I need some Star Wars. I'm on a bit of a Star Wars high, given the movie coming out later this year. So I'm playing Dark Forces, because I've never actually beat the game. I've played it before.
That, not to interrupt, sorry, but that is the first-person shooter, right?
Yes.
Yes!
1995 first-person shooter.
Good stuff.
Playing Kyle Katarn. It's really good. It's a bit buggy. It's a bit ridiculous. Like, one level has you literally fighting a dragon with your fists.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jabba captures you. He's like, I'm going to feed you to my dragon. And you're like, okay. He's like, I've got your weapons. I'm like, And then you're literally thrown in a pit with a dragon, and you have to punch it to death.
Okay, are you literally thrown into the pit with the dragon? Or
yes,
is this
you're
happening?
Literally...
So like
you're on a spaceship, and the spaceship has a pit built into it.
But I mean,
thrown into a pit.
I was trying to make a joke about, like, in the game you are, not actually.
Literally,
like,
he was.
Jason Lamb punched a dragon. Never mind.
I literally punched a dragon to death.
I'm gonna stop trying to
be
funny.
It.
It's really not worth it for me. Dark Forces, though, that's classy. That's a good choice.
It's good. There's some, like, really twisted dark parts, like. I think on the second or third level, he goes to some planet that was, like, invaded by the Empire recently.
Oh.
You have to steal something. And you're down there, and everything's blasted crap. And you know in A New Hope, how when Luke goes home, it's like, oh, there's my aunt and uncle, smoldering corpses.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There are corpses everywhere that look just like that.
Oh.
And he actually, but one of the only buildings intact is the local cantina. And so you wander in
the bar down.
Yeah, you gotta have a drink after you conquer a planet. And there's all these Imperial officers and stormtroopers just standing around. I'm assuming drinking, and the place is just littered with corpses. Like the top of the bar has corpses. There's corpses in like a closet, and they're just casually like, "Good job, guys. It's just here's to us."
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'd recommend it. It's kind of like Doom, but it's Star Wars. You can jump.
Yeah, I think that was one of those games that two laptops ago I tried to play and couldn't get it to work on my computer. I really wanted to play
that sucks.
Two laptops ago.
That was like 8 years ago, you know.
You should try it again. It's.
I probably should.
Yeah, I just purchased it.
Yeah. It's $2.99.
Oh, whoa, that's a good old game.
Or it's $1.37 if you buy the bundle.
Yeah, if you get the whole thing. Yep.
I will check it out.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. What have you guys been playing?
Well, I have enrolled myself into Lamb University.
What?
So, Bailey, I don't know if you know, but apparently we've been missing out on something these past... It's almost a month and a half now.
Really?
Of Jason just completely destroying us.
What?
In the Retro Showdown.
Yeah.
So I have taken it upon myself to take notes and to follow the footsteps of Lamb. I will now be playing every game that Jason comments on during the show. So I played God of War. And I feel like... So Kratos is a really bad guy.
Oh yeah, he's a class A dickbag.
Yeah. He is a terrible human being, if that's what he is.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't remember exactly what happened because the story kind of fades into you slowly with the flashbacks and stuff. But I probably put about 3 hours into it again, and he pretty much has just killed a bunch of people. And now he knows he's going to hell, so he's trying to redeem himself by going through with orders that the gods of Olympus are tasking him with. Mm-hmm. And like any good boss, it's always, well, you have to do this bit too. Well, do this one more thing. And I'm playing through this game, and I realized that this game was probably the first time I ever played through like what would be considered like modern quick time events with stuff. So like grab a hold of like the big fight or the big enemies and you slash your sword and then you hit a button and he swings around. And like, I can't really remember doing that in any other game before. So I was like, wow, that's fun. I forgot about how cool this was. And then I grew extremely bored because I feel like you're really powerful at the very beginning of the game. Like, you can do a ton of stuff at the very beginning of the game. And you get Poseidon's Rage is the first, like, special you get. And it's not just your typical, you know, oh, your weapon can go farther. Or you can, like, sweep the leg now. Like, no, you have lightning that shoots down from the sky and electrocutes your enemies in a small circle.
Sweep the leg.
Like, that's legit. That's legit power there, you know? And you're button mashing to get through, like, these zombies. And then you finally start getting into some of the bigger monsters. And it's, like, the one-on-one fight. And it's, oh, we'll do this and then turn them to stone and then flip around. And, oh, it's easy stuff. And then they start, like, doubling them on you. So now it's not, you're not just fighting one set of enemies. You're fighting multiple different enemies, like, different enemy types at once. So you're trying to go back to how you were taught how to fight these guys, and you just can't do it because it's not one-on-one anymore, you know? And the button mashing just doesn't work anymore.
That's what,
so, like,
Poseidon's,
you actually have to start playing
for
the game.
Yeah.
Man, it's just way too powerful. Like, but that's what I felt. Like, I felt like I was just, I don't know, like, it's a weird learning curve.
Yeah.
Because at first you're playing a game that you've never played before. It's a completely different style. And you get it down within the first, like, 10 minutes because it's like, oh, just do this and do this. And you're like, well, shit, this is easy. And then, like, they just all of a sudden just slam you with all this, like, all these different enemy types and, like, these crazy power-ups and this weird leveling system. And you have sex with these two girls while crouching in the air. Which doesn't, I'm not sure how he pulled that off, but I can see why it was so popular, because before the game was released, they were pushing the demo out to everybody, like GameStop and EB Games and Toys R Us, and it was like, play this first level of this brand new game, you're going to love it, and you do love it. And so you buy the game and you take it home, and you're like 3 hours in, you're like, this is the same boring crap I've been doing the entire time. Like, there is...
It's fantastic.
The mechanics never change to me. It's not fantastic.
It's an ancient Greek bar brawler. Except you're not in a bar. You're somewhere else. Hell, perhaps.
Olympus. So. And I also played the Castle of Dr. Brain.
Oh, nice. How was that?
And the game's not broken, Jason.
No.
I'm going to guess you haven't played a lot of Sierra point and click adventure games. So let me give you a little hunter pro tip.
Yeah.
Here we are. Hunter's pro tip. Your guide to Sierra point and click adventures.
If you move the cursor up to the top of the screen,
yeah,
there is a hidden toolbar that pulls down, and then you just click the little hand to open the door.
Well, shit. What difficulty were you in?
They didn't have the scroll wheel on the mouse back then when this game was released, so they had other means of being able to...
Dr. Brain.
I'm sorry, like...
Dr. Brain.
But yeah, that's an educational game. It's
It's
lots of numbers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. I like the graphics.
Cool.
Graphics are a good thing to have.
So
now I need to know. Bailey. What have you been playing while I search for Dr. Bran?
To make a long story short, someone who shall remain anonymous has kind of gathered over Twitter that I'm a big Star Wars fan. And he also kind of figured I hadn't yet played Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
I know who you're talking
did
about.
Did not know was on Steam now.
It's true.
So after a little research, I decided this looks like a pretty sweet game. It has a great reputation. I mean, it's a BioWare title and all. So yeah, started Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the Steam version.
Nice.
Yeah. It's.
I'm gonna have to start that again myself soon.
Yeah. I have gotten past the tutorial. I've totally selected a character and figured out how to do a lot of things. Have not progressed very far. After the initial fighting on the ship, we just did the thing where we thought the person we were trying to save, we've been fighting through a few different firefights. We get to the bridge where this person is supposed to be, and she's not there. That's where I had to quit.
Dun dun.
So, yeah, it's very fun so far. Like,
nice.
Like knowing a little bit, but then like knowing more, like it's actually a little bit better than I anticipated. Like the fact that it uses the Dungeons and Dragons style RPG characterization, and you know, I understand how save rolls work. I understand how to allot points for different traits. I understand how a feats system goes. Even though I'm an ancient dinosaur kind of gamer, it actually works to my advantage a little bit. So it's been a lot of fun so far. I think the highlight of my playthrough, even I've only played maybe half an hour, was there was one, like, Jason, you said your game was kind of buggy. I don't know what it is about these Star Wars games. There was one weird moment because it has that combat system where when you encounter an enemy, it kind of freezes and you can select up to 3 actions to script. So like, I'm going to throw a grenade, then fire my gun at this guy, then fire my gun at this guy, then hit the space bar and just watch what happens. So cool. I dig it. I like it. Great. So the bridge door opens. There's 2 enemies fighting 2 friends. They're maybe like 30 feet away, right? I'm frozen. So I script. I'm going to throw a grenade. Maybe I'll kill my friendly guys. I don't care. I'm halfway dead. I need to save my skin. So grenade, fire my gun. Okay. Hit spacebar. What happens? My character doesn't throw the grenade. Just runs. Just like sprints full speed ahead. Like getting fired at and dodging everything. Runs through the 4 people all the way, like 3 times farther to the end of the ship. Then turns around. I'm not hitting any keys. I'm just watching this, like mouth agape.
It's like a movie.
Runs back from the other way. And then there is a quick little message about weapons distance closing. It's something. The point is, like, I'm getting close enough I can actually do it.
Hey, so, wait, don't forget to save your game. Oh.
Yeah. But from the other direction, then I throw the grenade when I'm like 4 feet away, like really obnoxiously close. So I throw the grenade, boom, they all die. Really strange and unusual. I wasn't going for that strategy, but maybe I'll try that from now on. First, I'm going to run to the other side of the room and just really freak them out and catch them by surprise. So, but that moment aside, obviously a high quality game, having a lot of fun with it so far.
Good.
So, yeah.
Very good.
Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah. Wasn't Tom Hall a fan of this game? Wasn't that one of the ones?
Yes, he loves it.
Don't know, don't care.
I may have to hit him up about that. Hunter, that's funny. Jonathan Alley recommended a game to me. I think it was him. I'm going to feel really stupid if it wasn't. Snoopy's Silly Sports Spectacular on NES. I wanted to let you know that I will try that. I'm going to try that one next week. Hunter, I think you know the feeling as a collector of physical media in old games where you have like cartridges on the shelf, and if you look, you're like, yep, haven't played that, haven't tried that yet, haven't played that. Like, you know?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's one of those games for me. I haven't tried it, so that'll be fun. Not hugely optimistic, but looking forward to it.
Well, and you tried building that, like, I'm going to play you next pile. And then that pile gets so big that it ends up just, like, kind of forming into the rest of your collection. Then you're like, well, where'd that pile go? I thought I had a pile of games that I was wanting to play. And then everything's just back in the alphabetical order, and you have no idea how the monster became what it is.
Yeah, I have a pile of 19 games I want to stream sometime. Just haven't found the time yet. Life stuff, man. I was going to release a schedule. I had like a Saturday picked out, a late evening, an early evening. And then, like, you know, my family's all like, well, we want to visit this weekend. I'm like, well, I don't want to stream while my, you know, family is trying to see the baby. Like, it's kind of rude, you know.
It's actually the perfect time to stream, wouldn't it?
Hi, Grandma.
Yeah, the baby
I'm
stuff.
Gonna go, yeah, here's the baby. I'm going to go play video games. Thanks. Yeah. maybe I could pull it off. So if anyone else out there has recommendations for me, apparently I'm taking those now. Like, I take requests and suggestions. So, yeah. Because Jason and Hunter know half the time I can't really decide what to play, so I end up not playing anything, which it's kind of stupid knowing that we have a segment every week about what old games we play. So, yeah. Fire away. I will start a backlog of games I need to try and play and take requests. So, let me know. Speaking of letting us know, we have, believe it or not, we have a listener email discussion question.
Hot damn.
Oh.
No. Crazy.
I don't know.
Goes like this.
That's a thing or not.
Hello again, my friends. I write to you to ask a two-part question. What is your favorite retro cartoon, and what's your favorite game based on it? Keep up the good work, and remember, you are a bad enough dude to vote for Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Sincerely, Eric Hoffer. You can find Eric Hoffer. Mm. He's a longtime podcast fan. He's on Twitter at FogRules with a Z84. That's FogRulez 84. Good stuff. So, retro cartoons and games based on them. What do you guys think?
I'm more curious about Jason's answer to this one.
Okay.
Gamma.
So I have to pick. I have to pick a cartoon and then a game based off said cartoon, or can they be separate?
Nope. Yeah, they can be.
Okay.
Your favorite retro cartoon and a favorite retro game that's based on a cartoon is how I.
All right. I was a huge fan of one Inspector Gadget as a kid. Mm. And also, it came out in the 70s. It was a bunch of cartoons racing.
Wacky Races.
Featured Wacky Races. I loved Wacky Races.
Yep.
In terms of a game based on a cartoon, though, I've always been a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension.
Ooh.
It never saw release in North America.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it.
It's European, Japan only. My friends and I discovered this game through emulators, I guess, back in middle school. Freaking awesome.
That does sound like something you would do, Jason.
Yeah, you know. One where we're...
Look at this game I just ripped online.
Sweet. Everything's in
Says it's for a... Says it's for the niece, whatever the niece is. Let's play it.
I can't read anything. Everything's in Japanese.
Ooh, turn it off. Turn it down.
Well, if you ever get a chance to play it, it's a really solid fighting game, regardless of the whole Dragon Ball thing. But Dragon Ball was airing at the time, the English dub, and we all loved it, and this just kind of tied into it. Dragon Ball Z. Hyper Dimension. Everyone loves being Super Saiyan Vegeta.
I don't know what that means.
You know what it means. Don't lie.
Sounds dirty.
Is that another class at Lamb University?
Yeah. Guess you're going to have to play that.
I'm a big Scooby-Doo fan. Still. To this day. Very big Scooby-Doo fan. I also... dabbled greatly into the Mega Man cartoon, mainly because.
Yeah.
What?
How did you even know there was?
So you've seen Captain N, right? The Game Master.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Anybody? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Mega Man in that is a midget who talks like he smokes 12 packs a day.
Every character in that stupid show.
And he's
show
annoying
talks.
As shit. Really bad. And I remember watching Captain N thinking, and I was like, this isn't Mega Man. This isn't my Mega Man. My Mega Man wouldn't sound like this. And then the Mega Man cartoon came out, and I'm like, okay, no, this is my Mega Man. This is what I would. Oh, so good. So good. They even did a crossover with Mega Man X, where X came from the future to stop the Mavericks from like changing the past. And Mega Man and X fought together. Oh. So Scooby-Doo, the Scooby-Doo Mysteries for the Super NES, which I had brought onto the show for the Retro Showdown, and was wiped the floor with it. Although it's a fun game. It's a very fun game. And of course, Mega Man 2, Mega Man X. Those are definitely my favorite games of those cartoons. And I mean, I liked other cartoons. Like, I liked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I liked Batman, the animated series, but like, one of the first things I ever bought on Amazon was the complete collection of Mega Man, the cartoon.
Wow.
You know, I still don't have any Scooby-Doo stuff, which is upsetting. It's a really good show. Bailey?
See, here's the thing. Choosing my favorite quote-unquote retro cartoon, super easy. It's the real Ghostbusters.
Oh, it's so good.
Life-alteringly huge fan of that show. Like, it has actually been a significant influence on who I am. I love that show. Love it. Peter Venkman in that show, that version, my hero.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. But favorite game based on a cartoon? That's tough. I don't know.
You look like you're in pain.
Yeah,
man.
I am. It's hard.
Do you have some indigestion?
I do. I'm trying to.
Do you want some wall chicken?
Trying to digest this question. I could use some brick chicken. That would be great. Let me just give an example of the mental somersault I'm going through. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game for NES. Love that game. It's a port of an arcade game. But is it really based on the cartoon or is it based on the comic book? I'm not even sure, you know? Because the depictions are from the cartoon, but those are very similar to the...
Well, and the comic book ended up depicting the cartoon after the cartoon blew up. The comic book stopped being dark and gritty and became very, esoteric and kid-friendly and... Because the cartoon was so popular.
Right.
So.
And there's a wonderful...
So yeah, I would say that's okay.
Okay, that counts? Okay, well...
Yeah, I mean...
I'll just go with that then. Shoot. But otherwise, I would mention the NES had this really fun brief period of a couple years where it had a proud tradition of licensed games aping features from Super Mario Bros. 3. If you go back and play something like Wacky Races or Tiny Toon Adventures, they're solid games. We can see how they were very much influence on Super Mario Bros. 3. It's kind of funny. So I was going to pick Tiny Toon Adventures by Konami if Turtles didn't count. So I have two choices. There.
There you go. Whew,
good question, Mr. Hoffer. That made me think, which is painful, apparently.
I think it made you poo a little.
Yeah.
The face was wrenching.
It made me think, made me poo. Mission accomplished.
Whew.
That's good.
My daily think and poo. I don't know.
God.
Welcome to Joe the Greeter and Tony Dustin Scott Josh to our professional podcast.
The old TNP.
Oh, do you guys know who Tony Dustin Scott Josh is? That would
nope.
be Classic Leaked, fellow retro podcast. Good to see him. Yeah. Sorry if they tuned in during us talking about poop. That's like the worst possible moment.
The best possible moment.
Or is it the only possible moment?
Oh, please don't let that be. Speaking of awkward moments, join the live stream. I think we need a music break. Thank you. back. That was Thunderstruck by, and I may be butchering this, but I'm going to go with the pronunciation, Kubi. That's K-U-B-B-I if you want to look them up, and I would recommend it because this is actual high-quality chiptune material. It's not just that stuff, you know how sometimes people are like a hobbyist quality, like they dabble in it and it's kind of, oh, here's my stuff. Now this is like professional grade, like actually like has more than two layers of sounds going on. Really good stuff. His new album is Ember. It's available at Name Your Own Price, including free. I gave him a few bucks because I think it's worth it. I heard about him because we recently interviewed him on onemorecastle.com. So thanks, Daniel, for scoring that interview. And it's actually a pretty cool interview. So I recommend checking that out as well. Onemorecastle.com. Pretty neato website. Speaking of neato websites, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, Retro Showdown is, it's the best part of our show, let's be honest. Each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We're going to have 1 minute to introduce our choice, and then we're just going to spend the rest of the time arguing about who picked the best game. The best part, though, is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the episode page on onemorecastle.com. Very cool. You get to participate. Leave comments, too. Argue about it. Whatever. That'd be great. So definitely check that out. Hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, or at the very least we will entertain you by stripping ourselves of our dignity and trying to eviscerate each other of their self-worth. Enjoy. Typically we have a theme. 2 weeks ago, or two episodes ago, our theme was special guest free-for-all, because Chris Schwartz, author of the Raising a Gamer series, is on the show, and the winner, it was me versus Hunter versus Chris, was... Chris.
Hunter, damn it.
Special guest, yeah. He continues our proud tradition. The first time you're on the show, you typically win. Just a heads up for anyone out there. He won with Ski Free. That's definitely a classic. But he beat out a couple cool games to do. He beat out my choice Rogue Squadron and Hunter's choice of Vindicators at the arcade, which is a solid title. But no, he beat us fair and square. So congratulations, Chris Schwartz. Good job. Tonight, whole new game. Blank Slate. Tabula Rasa for the Retro Showdown. The theme tonight is games you would put on a sandwich.
Mm-mm, good.
What the hell does that even mean? What? We picked a game, each of us did, so apparently we're gonna figure this out together. So strap yourself in. Please keep all hands, feet, and tentacles inside the vehicle while the ride is in motion. Jason, traditionally you are the timekeeper. Traditionally I go first, so if you got 1 minute on the clock, I got one game for your face.
You may begin.
I have very little experience with this game, but it's a classic. It's one of those games, it's a known title. You hear the name, you're like, oh yeah, that game. It's from a genre I like. It's kind of like a mini game collection, kind of a game show video game, not quite a board game video game. It's kind of a more mature Mario Party, if you will. I'm going with the Dreamcast version. That's right, taking a page out of Hunter's playbook. This is a 1999 game from Acclaim. It's South Park Chef's Love Shack. Get that sweet chef lovin' chocolate salty balls. I mean, who wouldn't want those on a sandwich, right? Who wouldn't want chocolate salty balls on your sandwich? But if chocolate salty balls aren't your thing, maybe mini games are. Every turn you get to spin a wheel and play
Five.
Classic game. Really? Am I really out of time?
Okay. And you're out of time.
Chef's Love.
Hunter.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. You may begin.
Vegetables. Real-time strategy vegetables. Of all shapes, sizes, and colors. You just grab them out of the ground and you hoist them over your head, hoping to take down a bug, maybe, or pick up a bottle cap, all in search of more vegetables to slap between your pieces of bread. Now, these vegetables may have eyes, which is okay, and they may talk funny, and they may like to collect in groups of the same color, but boy, do they love being thrown at stuff. And boy, do they taste delicious. These vegetables happen to be Pikmin for the Nintendo GameCube. Off to find the parts of your ship that have sadly fallen in a terrible, terrible disaster.
Time.
But you get lots of food.
All right.
Real-time strategy vegetables.
Yes.
This is going to be a good showdown. This is going to be a good one.
I guess I'll begin. To make a good snack, they go on the side of your sandwich. And even, they taste good when put in your sandwich.
It's already cheating.
That's right. I'm talking about the versatile pickle. It's the only vegetable that's both crunchy, salty, and pickled. But alas.
Yes.
The pickle has betrayed you. You see, you are involved in the Pickle Wars. Released in 1993 for DOS, Pickle Wars is a game where planets are invaded by aliens, mainly pickles. You go on a journey to find hidden weapons. The player needs to collect salad shooters and level to pass, and the aliens will faint if shot with salad. It's Pickle Wars for DOS.
Didn't you already bring this game?
I don't know. I've talked about it.
I don't think. No way. There's no. No, he hasn't brought Pickle Wars.
He must have. Because didn't you? Wait, well, you talked to the developer once. She lives out in Hawaii.
Yeah, Karen Chen.
Okay, so you've spoken about it, but you haven't brought it.
Is she the educational games lady?
She did like Math Rescue and Word Rescue.
Yeah.
And Pickle Wars.
That's
through her Redwood Games.
So we have a live stream comment from Aaron Alcorn, who says, and I quote, "Chef's Love Shack sounds like the sandwich comes with crabs." Unquote.
Crickets. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and continue my intro. With such classic mini games as Beefcake, Snow Forts, and Scuzzlebutt, among others. Mini Game Madness and Chef's Love Shack. Mm-hmm. Visit the Shack today.
Remember when we're talking about good games based off cartoons?
Yeah.
This is not one of them. This is definitely not one of them.
It's one of the best of all time, actually. What are you talking about? Your game? Pickle Wars? No. Yeah, that cartoon sucked. That was awful. So,
it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Oh, it had its own charm, I guess. So, I hear you, Jason. You're right. Pickle Wars, not a good game. You're right. I accept.
Pickle Wars is okay. Chef's Love Shack is definitely a stinker.
It is not a stinker. It's a multiplayer minigame game. Those are always fun. You are wrong.
Yes, they're always fun.
They are. Have you ever played like Mario Party or like the WarioWare game? Like, it's a great genre.
Yeah, all those games that came out for the Wii in the bargain bin were great.
Neither of the games I just mentioned were
all those Wii party games. Yep. You're right. It's on the Dreamcast, so no one played it.
Okay, hold on. Wait, let's keep the rage meter at a minimum tonight.
So, for those who don't know, Hunter is a huge Sega fan.
Huge.
I think that the Chef's Love Shack, it's one of those games that comes out and like you read like previews about it and like the gaming mags at the time and you're like, yeah, South Park. I know South Park. You know, they're foul-mouthed talking kids, and they get into trouble. And you would never put together a quiz mini game. You know what I mean?
No, I actually think it is extremely intuitive. I mean, if I had to make a South Park game, that seems like the easiest choice. Like, well, can we just have like a quiz about South Park for the fans? Have some mini games?
Yeah, but you know that the easiest choice is never the best choice. Yeah.
Right, but that show isn't exactly conducive to speculative fiction genres, the typical archetypes of our generation.
Like, this reminds me, like, if you watched, like, Batman, and you're like, wow, this show's great. I would love to play a video game starring Batman. And it comes out, and you put it in, and you're playing it, and you realize that it's just a newspaper simulator, and you're just sitting there reading newspaper clippings about Batman.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like this is. Like, this doesn't have any correlation to South Park, except for this is the title and these are the characters.
There's a tug of war. Who wants to play tug of war?
I would. I really enjoy tug of war, actually. There's a whole strategy
on a console?
Using the opponent's moment.
On a console.
No, like
no, not
game.
On a console.
Like, let's go truly retro here. Let's go with the
Find the can. You're literally
a pie eating contest?
There is a pie eating contest.
See, you know, they've sure got some good ideas here. They've got go-kart racing.
Yeah,
they should have just spun that off into a full game.
Some of the games
each
are
could
similar
have their
to
own
other
power-ups.
Classic games. Like, they have, like, the South Park version of Frogger or the South Park version. Like, some of them are classic games just with South Park skins on them. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting, though. Feel free to disregard this, Hunter, but I found it very interesting. The game came out for several different consoles, and the Dreamcast got the second highest consensus rating. The best rated version of the game was Nintendo 64. Just found that interesting.
Yeah.
The 64 was rated above the Dreamcast version. Just interesting. Just found that interesting.
No, I mean, it makes sense. The Nintendo 64 is a much popular console than the Dreamcast. I don't know why.
Yeah, but no, he's right.
I don't know how you could.
He's right. The
N64
got a whopping 50.88% to Dreamcast 50.21.
Less than a percentage away, that Dreamcast.
Damn.
Keep dreaming, basically, Dreamcast. Lick my salty balls.
Okay, gosh. That's
you know what?
That'll never happen.
Pikmin.
Do we have to talk about
Pikmin?
Do we? Like,
first of all, they're not vegetables. Okay. I don't know where you're even.
They grow in the ground. You can eat them. They are vegetables.
They're not vegetables until they're dead. While they're growing, it's either a plant or an animal. If it's still alive.
Hmm. All right. Well, then you can kill them and then eat them. They are vegetables.
Can you eat them though? Are they really healthy for you? They might be poison.
Well, you have to think. So there were men and women within our history that have died testing out different plants to find out what things were edible and what things were not.
But there weren't Pikmin.
That's
and
what
Pikmin.
You're doing. You're finding out if they're edible.
Okay.
They are edible and they are delicious.
So when Olimar eats a Pikmin, what happens? Oh, wait. He doesn't eat him. That's not what he does. That's not even... They're not vegetables.
Well, no, you gotta play with, you gotta mess with them first. You know, you gotta tender them up a bit, so to say. So you throw them at stuff and you make them work. You know, like the plant animals that they are. And then it's when the day ends. It's because there's a very long day ending sequence in Pikmin because you have 30 days to collect all the ship pieces, so you can fly back to space and to where your home planet. And there's a very they really go into like the detail of how the day ends in this game, and there's a very good reason. It's because they want you to think nothing but happy thoughts, because you know he's grilling those bad boys up and just chomping down on them. Like, he's picking out like one or two Pikmin a day. Like, this guy's been lazy all day. Like, I throw him at stuff and he just sits there looking at me like I'm an idiot. Like, I'm gonna eat him tonight. I'm gonna eat Rodney over there. That's what I'm gonna do. Rodney, me and you. Meeting you tonight. And it is delicious.
That's...
No, Pikmin was like one of the first Nintendo IPs in like ever.
I know.
That's true.
Like, it just...
Yeah.
It just, that just, I mean, the fact that the game was even halfway decent made the game so much better, because it was like, hey, look, we made something like internal at Nintendo, and it's not Mario or Luigi or every other mascot that we have in the world that's been rehashed and rehashed and rehashed. It's, you know, it's something new and it's okay. And you're like, no, this isn't okay. This is great. Make more of this. And you're like, all right, Mario Party 10.
Woo.
Mario Kart 8.
Hey.
Super Mario Luigi Brother 3D Land World.
Woo! They do have three Pikmin by now.
Yeah, Pikmin's not a dead franchise.
Yeah. Mind you, I don't...
Well, I mean, the first one came out in 2004. The second one came out in 2000... No. Or the first one came out in 2003.
2001.
Was it 2001? Then it was 2004 for the second one. But then it wasn't until last year.
Wait a
for
second.
The third one. So, obviously...
The first Pikmin game is 14 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here feeling like, oh, Pikmin is such a new franchise. 14 years?
Yeah. They just, that's what I'm saying. That's like, it took them 10 years to bring out the third one.
Yeah.
It's half my life.
I just find Pikmin.
Pikmin, half my life.
Pikmin
14
utterly
years.
Utterly forgettable Pikmin.
Half my life. 14 years, Pikmin?
That's not true.
It's true.
Not utterly.
It's pretty forgettable. My problem with Pikmin is.
It's a fun game.
It's so.
You use a controller.
No. Well, yeah, that's dumb.
You could use a keyboard and mouse in this. You could.
It's an RTS.
This game was on the PC. Yeah, you could use a keyboard and mouse.
It's quirky, but after playing the first and seeing trailers and screenshots and gameplay of the second and third, there's nothing in there that makes me go, I really want to play another Pikmin game.
I really agree.
No, you'd rather play Pickle Wars.
I want to throw some plants at some other animals.
Salad shooters. Actually kind of my gripe with Pikmin too. Like, it's not bad.
It's just,
but it's not provocative.
It's Pikmin.
It's not
like,
engaging. It's not exciting, you know? It's very meh.
Yeah, it's not Pikmin. Yeah, I play Pikmin.
Mm. Yeah. I tried it.
I'm not saying it's a terrible game. It's a good game. It's just
exactly. It's
nothing.
Not awful.
Nothing's makes me gonna go and be like, oh damn, when's the new Pikmin sequel coming out?
I can't imagine. Something.
Last year came out.
Exactly. And who the hell has talked about Pikmin since?
I wasn't excited.
That certainly wasn't a system seller.
Nope.
No one was lining up to go, oh shit, Pikmin 3. I've been waiting 10 years
oh,
for
man.
This.
Pickle Wars.
Hey.
Hunter's got you there. If we're talking about popularity as a criteria for winning tonight's showdown, Jason,
now
you're going to lose terribly. Nobody's heard of Pickle Wars, and you just mentioned it.
I do want to say this, because the last time that Jason brought up Pickle Wars, I watched the exact same video that I'm watching now, and I want to say the exact same thing that I'm getting ready to say right now. It seems like a lot of work went into a game with a lot of fairly well done animation for the most part, for the most ridiculous idea.
Oh,
of a
video
game.
Oh no! Like, I'm purely bringing this game on concept. it's ridiculous. Episode 1, Invasion of the Pickle People.
For an early platforming game, especially for an early platforming game on the PC, like, it's not terrible. Like, it looks pretty cool, and it looks like, for the most part, like the platforming game mechanics work.
Yeah.
But
why
Pickle
Wars? I don't know. I think it was like one person developing it as well. I think it was literally just that Karen. Oh. Yeah, she did the whole thing. So other than the music.
I just don't.
And the music is terrible. Do not listen to the music on Pickle
really
Wars.
Bad. The music is pretty bad. I just feel like maybe if it wasn't Pickle Wars, if it was Robot Wars.
Yeah.
There's robots in the game. Yeah. You know. Just give me, like, robotic pickles, and I would be fine with
it. You know what?
I wouldn't even bat an eye. And I'm like, oh, there's a robotic pickle. I'm gonna take it down with my wrath of salad gun that I have.
But no, it's just they're pickles.
Salad of
and
war.
And you're literally just shooting.
Whatever you want to call them.
Shooting salad at pickles, which makes no sense, because why would vegetables kill a pickle? Sorry, cause a pickle to faint.
Isn't a pickle a vegetable? I put pickles in my salad.
That's weird.
Yeah.
How is that weird?
Why would you put pickles in your salad?
Wait. What do you mean? How is
that
weird?
What the hell puts pickles
in a salad?
What kind of salad?
Yeah.
It involves pickles.
pickle salad?
Oh, you know, with lettuce and cheese and
pickles
other things that make
pickles?
A salad. That's the beauty of a salad. You could put a bunch of shit together and be like, hey, it's a salad.
No, not,
eat it.
Not pickles.
And yeah. You're eating it, and you're like, oh, my God, there's Rodney. No. And you're like, oh, there's Rodney.
Okay, I mean, we're all torn up about Rodney, but nobody
pickles?
Puts pickles on a salad, Hunter. Like, I think we need to address this right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, okay, well, no, you don't put them, like, on the salad. You put them, like, on the side.
That, okay,
like,
no. That's, no, that's completely different.
That's completely different.
How is that different? It's on the
no, that's
it's
completely
on the
different.
It's there.
That's like saying, no, that's completely different.
There's no way you're putting it on the same plate with everything
okay,
else.
Guys,
it's different. Not on the salad.
I refuse to devote this much energy talking about salad.
No,
I,
you listen
this
here.
This is where I draw the line.
We're talking about pickles and we're talking about salad.
I can talk
that's
about
what the podcast is now.
Functions. I can talk about other people's hobbies we make fun of sometimes. I can talk about other people behind their back in public. I can do all those things. I am willing to go there. I will
listen.
Not take time talking about salad. Won't do it.
Fine. We'll change it. We're going to talk about episode 3, The Search for the Doomsday Machine, where the pickles get hold of a Doomsday Machine and arm it. Dave and Linda must
yes.
do their best to save Arcadia. Sounds pretty good.
Chef's Love Shack is the most fun game of the three.
No,
far.
It's terrible.
It's not even close. Just, like, you two barely
any...
brought game.
Let me... Can
barely.
I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like a serious question.
Yes.
Are the quiz questions like are they based on South Park or
yeah.
are they just kind of like general
yeah.
knowledge stuff?
No. They're very specific to the South Park show. Like I like South Park, so I have.
So if I've never seen South Park, then I'm not gonna do well.
You
it's,
would
yeah.
stand
right? like
less
it's more
of
a like
chance
a fan
of doing
game.
Well. Yeah, yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Well, that's a terrible idea for a game. If I can't win on common knowledge or the game to show me how to play.
Hunter?
To the best of my ability, then why am I playing?
Hunter, can I tell you something
I
right
would
now?
Rather put pickles on
can
my
I,
salad.
Can I tell you something right now? Me and you are friends because I agree with you, and there are people out there who would disagree. When I reviewed the Three Stooges on NES, I said it's stupid. Like it sucks. It's super confusing.
Yeah.
I had a...
It's a terrible game. If you haven't watched the show...
Thank you. Thank you.
It means nothing.
I had a relatively... Oh, how do I say this? A more well-known internet retro gaming person than me tell me that I was wrong, that it's actually a great game, it's one of his favorites. And I argued, well, no, it's not. And he's like, well, no, it's one of my favorites. Just because you don't know the Three Stooges well enough to know that you're supposed to do this during this. Like, it actually follows like the show. Like, there's something about boxing. When you hear the bell, you gotta do something. I didn't know. And I'm like, but if you have to know that in order to enjoy the game, it's a bad game. Like, it should be accessible. It should be able for other people to enjoy. So that little like crux of our argument and our like review philosophy, we haven't spoken since to this unnamed retro gaming personality online. So I'm glad I'm not the only one. I don't talk about it a lot because I'm afraid like I'm in the minority there and I have no credibility as a retro gamer because I don't understand. But no, Hunter, I trust you. So yeah. Yeah, if you have to know the subject matter outside...
You said that you trust me?
No, it's not.
It's a bad idea. Sorry, finish.
No, I'm just saying, if you have to know the subject material outside the game in order to enjoy the game, you may enjoy it personally, but that trait does not raise the quality of the game. It subtracts it.
It's a beautiful love letter to the fan. Don't get me wrong.
Exactly.
I love stuff like that. I love the the tip of the hat and the wink and the gun, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're still trying to make money off of a property, and 99 times out of 100, at least any time before the year 2000, you actually had to make a good game to be successful. Now you can just keep putting lipstick on that pig and just keep releasing it every year, and people keep buying it. I just don't get it. I mean,
I love Star Wars, but even as a Star Wars fan, playing through Knights of the Old Republic, if I had to answer Star Wars trivia questions in order to advance, that would be awful. If I had to name the model number of the starship, yeah, I know the X-Wing is a T-65, but if I had to know that to fly it, that's a terrible idea. That's stupid. That's really dumb.
Yeah. You know what's dumb? So, Chef's Love Shack. Yeah. All three are pretty dumb.
It's fun, though. Yeah.
Pikmin is amazing.
Pikmin's not amazing. You might win this week,
Hunter. You shut your Pikmin-hating mouth.
Nobody eats Pikmin either.
Shove Rodney in there.
Nobody puts pickles on salads, and nobody eats Pikmin.
Yeah, that's just, what the hell is pickles on salad?
I don't know.
And nobody puts Rodney in a corner.
Okay, final arguments. You two have fallen off the rails that this show has fallen off of to get to the secondary set of off the rail rails.
Rails? That's what I was going to say. Hunt, multiple rails that we keep us
Hunter,
on.
Why should anyone vote for Pikmin, the worst point-and-click adventure game made in the past 15 years?
I mean, you know, real-time strategy vegetables.
That's quite a way to describe it.
Do it for Rodney. Do it for Rodney.
Jason,
why... Because I'm going to eat him regardless, but you know.
Why should anyone vote for a DOS game that barely manages to at least look average?
Pickle Wars. One, pickles actually go on a sandwich, unlike chocolate salty balls and Rodney. And two, you're literally fighting pickles. It's absolutely stupid, and I fully support a stupid game that commits to its stupid concept. So you should go and play Stupid Pickle Wars. The game. The movie. The experience.
Lifestyle.
Yes. The religion. Pickle Wars is a religion at this point.
Wow.
Yeah. Pickle Wars. Yeah. I'll just keep saying Pickle Wars until they cut me off.
That's, pickles. That's fine. I was waiting to see how many times you're going to say it. Anyway. Nope. You should vote for Chef's Love Shack because it's a multiplayer party game. It has South Park. Actually, some of the quiz questions are nearly impossible to answer. I should throw that out. But it's a fun game. It has mini games, South Park, if you like that kind of thing. I went through a phase in my life where I did, so it's a nice little touch of nostalgia for me. That's the Retro Showdown. Please vote, because there certainly are three games to choose from. Earlier in the show, I forgot to mention, if you want to send us a listener email discussion question, I always forget this. A long time. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. Email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. Please send us your questions, because we do answer them. Isn't that cool? You have an opportunity to have three grown men argue over an email they receive. It's quite an opportunity. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Nintendo_Legend. That's a good way to contact me. How about you guys? What should the audience know about Jason?
You can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb. And if you happen to be in Canada and are looking for a good pickle, there's a company out of Quebec called Mrs. White's, and they make a damn good original brine dill pickle, and they're brined, they're pickled in barrels. Check them out, Miss White's.
Pickles. All right, Hunter, any shout outs, reminders, things of that nature you want to mention?
You can follow me on Twitter @EricHunter. Stuff.
Cool. I want to give a shout out to our live stream audience, especially those who left comments. People like Jonathan Higgins, Edward Barnell, Alex Weiss, Jonathan Ellie, Aaron Alcorn. There might be a couple more if I keep scrolling. Jeepers. Thanks for everyone showing up. Valerie Minnick, Mega Silver X. We had a handful watch but not comment, which is totally okay because we live stream every week Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Central. We have a good time. It's usually fun. It's fun. Honestly, I thought everyone would go out and see Avengers tonight, so yeah, thanks for showing up. Last but not least, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.